Thank you, Pastor Wade. It's a great joy to be here with you this morning. I am not sure where I was a couple of years ago when Esther came and visited you, but we often go different directions, and she's somewhere else this morning, and it's great to be here with you. My son, Stephen, accompanied me again, and it's always a joy to have him with us. He was here 2 years ago, so you've seen more of him than you have of Esther and me. You see a picture of our family here, and we're missing one of the grandsons. He was taking a nap, so you see him here in this picture. But just a little update on our family. We're thankful for God's goodness to us, and Esther joins me in sending greetings. You see our children, grandchildren here in the picture. Our son, Paul, and his wife, Brenna, and their two children, Gabe and Hope, is over here in Esther's arms, and they're in Grove City, Pennsylvania, and Paul works at an engineering firm there, Braho Machinery, and they go to the Grove City Alliance Church. And then our son David and his wife Jillian here, and their two children, one of them Ellie here in Rebecca's arms, and the other one Theo, who is missing in the picture because of his nap. And they have been approved to go overseas with Samaritan's Purse to Gabon, West Africa, Central Africa, at Bangalo Hospital. Perhaps you've heard of the Alliance's work at Bangalo Hospital. And David is a surgeon. He just finished his residency last week. It was a great joy to celebrate with him the completion of 5 years of residency. And he and his wife will be heading in August to France so that they have a chance to brush up on their French for David, learn French for Jillian. And Esther and I have the joy of accompanying them there, helping them get settled. We'll join them for a week and then return to Burkina Faso. Our son, Stephen, is next in line. I'm going in age order here. Paul and David are actually twins. Stephen, it came 18 months later. And Stephen is a family doctor at Wellspring in Oakland. So that's where we spent the night, came from there this morning. And Stephen also just got word that he's been accepted by Samaritan's Purse and is also hoping to head to Bangalo next year. So we're excited about having two sons on the African continent, and Bangalo is a little closer than the United States for us from Burkina, so we hope to see them there. And then our son Mark here. Mark works at a group home in near Grove City, Pennsylvania. And our daughter Rebecca, and she just graduated from Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania, with a degree in secondary English education. And she hopes next month to head to China to teach at a Christian school in one of the big cities of China. And you can pray that the Lord will open that door, because there's been a lot of rigmarole with getting a visa and COVID and all of the rest. So, we're thankful for how God is leading each one of them. If you would like a picture of our family, a prayer card, we invite you to help yourself to them on the table in the back as you leave. And you can also sign up for our prayer letter list. Some of you are already reading that, thanks to, I think, Ben, who's been forwarding it to you, Ben and Betty. And you're welcome to get your own copy if you'd like by putting your email address or your snail mail address there. You'll also find some brochures about Maranatha Bible Institute, where we teach in Burkina Faso. So our main ministry is to help to train pastors and church leaders there. I want to bring you greetings this morning from two people I work very closely with. One is President Job Dow, the president of the Burkina Alliance Church, and he has become a very close friend, and he was reelected as church president just last year. And then the director of Maranatha Bible Institute, where I teach, Thomas Traore, as we say it in French. And they send you greetings and thank you for your help and prayers for our work there. A big thank you for your partnership in the gospel. If you give to missions here at Living Water. If you put the money, designate money for the Great Commission Fund, that helps to support my family in Burkina Faso. You know, the Philippian church partnered with Paul more than any other church in his ministry. Paul begins his letter, ends his letter to the Philippian church, thanking them for their partnership in the gospel. Listen to these first few verses of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you for partnering with us. As you give to the Great Commission Fund, you are helping to support over 700 Alliance workers serving in more than 50 nations around the world, including hotspots like Ukraine and Russia and Israel, West Africa. And so we thank you for enabling us to go, to serve, to be present in Burkina Faso. This last week, I sent off our new passports to the embassy, the Burkina Embassy in Washington, D.C., with a money order for $280 for our visas, hopefully five-year multiple entry visas. And your giving helps to cover the cost of those visas, those passports. It puts gas in our cars. It puts food on our tables. It enables us to minister to the sick and needy, to prisoners and widows in Burkina Faso, to give scholarships to our students at the Bible school. And so we thank you for enabling us to go and be present in Burkina Faso. As much as you're doing, I want to encourage you to lean in and do more. Last month, we had Great Commission Fund Sunday, May 22nd, but actually the Alliance is allowing those gifts to be to come in all the way through June 30th, so it's not too late, and you can still give to that offering. My parents served the Lord for many, many years. I was telling somebody before the service that they wanted to be missionaries themselves, but the Lord closed that door. So instead, Dad became pastor of an Alliance church in Cleveland, Ohio. It was a small, new church, 4 years old, meeting in his school. And Dad was faithful, persevering in the difficult years, and God blessed his ministry. And the church multiplied, and God blessed Dad's service, Mom's service at that church. It's now the largest church in the Central District of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Mom and Dad love Jesus. They love missions. Dad had a quote that he had in the cover of his Bible. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And that's something that motivated him. The Lord called Dad home in October of 2014, my mom just this past January 9th, 2022. And I'm thankful for the impact they had on my life, on my call to ministry, the prayers that helped to get me to the field, that helped me to stay on the field through difficult times. Another quote we heard often as kids was another one from C.T. Studd. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You have been enabling us to be present in what is the poorest region of the world, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. And you see them there on the map, are right in the Sahara Desert, the world's largest desert. And they're near the bottom of the United Nations list for things like gross domestic product, healthcare, life expectancy. And just an example of the poverty in the U.S. here, there's one medical doctor for every 350 or so people. In Burkina Faso, there's one medical doctor for every 20,000 people. more than 20,000 people. And so the need is huge. And you're sending us to an area of the world where there are great spiritual needs, great physical needs as well. The First Alliance missionaries went to Burkina Faso, what was then called Upper Volta, in 1923. Their names, Paul and Mabel Fraley. When they arrived in Upper Volta, and you see Upper Volta was part of what was called in those days French West Africa. It was colonized by the French, and so French is the lingua franca, the language that's spoken in schools and commerce in Burkina Faso and those other countries highlighted there on the map. Those early missionaries built homes. They used local materials to build their homes. They learned the language. They adapted to the culture. They shared the gospel. When they arrived in 1923, there were literally no churches in the city of Bobo Dioulasso, where they first landed, where I live today. There were no Alliance churches. There were no believers. So they patiently shared the gospel. One of their first converts was a blind man by the name of Pierre Kelatigi. And you see him pictured here with his sons, Paul and Cesar. And he listened to the gospel and received Jesus as his Savior. And missionary Paul helped him to learn to read Braille. And he became a major interpreter for the missionaries when they would speak. In Burkina Faso, we have lots of different languages, 70 different languages. And this Pierre Kelatigi spoke a couple of those languages. So when the missionary would speak one language, he could interpret into another language. The early work was hard. The people there were animists. They feared the evil spirits and made fetishes to protect themselves from those evil spirits. But God blessed the work, and little by little, people began to give their lives to Jesus Christ. You see the First Alliance conference held in Santidugu, about 20 kilometers, 15 miles outside of Bobo Dioulasso. And you see missionaries there in the middle of the picture. And the people that were part of that First Alliance conference, not very many. And yet they persevered, and God continued to work, and the work grew. We're getting ready, if you do the calculation, the math, you know that we're getting ready for our centennial celebration. And I serve on the commission that's planning the centennial celebration. And so I've been looking at some of our old documents, and this is one of them you see here. This was done in preparation for the 50th anniversary. You see, it was done in 1972. They talked about 49 years. There were about 6,000 believers in worshiping Jesus in maybe 120 churches throughout Upper Volta in that, at that time. But it's not just about the numbers. It's about people. And you see one of our churches, the church actually that where Esther and I attend in Bobo Dioulasso in 1984. And in 1973, at our 50th anniversary, there was only one Protestant church in the whole city of Bobo Dioulasso. Bobo Dioulasso today is about 1.5 million people. One church for a huge city, Burkina's second largest city. Well, the missionaries set goals, church planting goals, and you see here their desire was to have up to 336 churches by 1985. And you know, God has so blessed the work that growth has surpassed expectations. The Burkina Alliance Church has multiplied many times over since our 50th anniversary. You see the statistics here. The church leadership did a count recently, and they estimate that today there are over 120,000 believers worshiping in more than 700 Alliance churches today. Jesus said, "I will build my church," and he's building his church in Burkina Faso. And we've been a privilege to see him at work, to see, to be a part of what he's doing there. So next year is our centennial celebration. You see here a picture that was taken at our 90th celebration with missionaries Dick and Lillian Phillips. They returned for the celebration. They translated the Bible into the language of the Samo people. And Dick finished the work when he was 85 years old, came back to help dedicate that Bible. And we had several thousand people gather in our city of Bobo-Dioulasso in a big stadium there for the celebration. And we're anticipating doing something similar next year, November 2023. We've invited our church president, John Stumbo, to come. We've invited former missionaries to return. We have invited people from Burkina Faso living in what we call the diaspora to come back for the celebration. And our church leaders are planning a new national office. And here you see President Job Dow in the middle with some of the other church leaders. And they're measuring out, they're getting ready for this new national office building like the Alliance is building these days in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. And you see the work that they've done last summer. They knocked down three buildings on their headquarters property right in downtown Bobo-Dioulasso. And they cleared out the property, and they laid out the place where the new building would be built, where these three other buildings had been torn down. And you can see the work starting to begin. The foundation, of course, the most important part. And the walls or the beams now going up. And this is what they anticipate building and hope to finish by November of 2023. We have a long way to go, don't we? So pray that the Lord will provide and bless that that effort. You know, you sending us there, enabling us to be present, means that there's impact. The gospel has an impact wherever it goes. And it has had an impact on Burkina Faso. For example, literacy. I told you that the first convert learned to read Braille thanks to a missionary. I was with our church president recently, and he told me, he said, when the government officials come to visit me, and they do that in Burkina Faso, they come to visit, they ask our church president to pray for them. And he said, when they come, I remind them that it was missionaries who first taught us to read and write. They were the ones who helped us to put our languages into writing. So they introduced literacy. They also are the ones who opened the first schools. The best schools in Burkina Faso are Catholic and Protestant schools started by the first missionaries who came into the country, the schools that people want to get their kids into. And we believe in education. The missionaries also started health clinics and hospitals. They ministered not only to the soul, but to the body as well. And those health clinics are still having an impact today. And then they treated women with dignity. You know that there are other religious groups in Burkina Faso with other ideas about women, many of them subjugating women. And just think of a religion that allows a man to take four wives and the confusion that that must cause. But in our Christian circles, one man, one woman. And it treats women with dignity. And then the worldview. We are helping people to develop a biblical perspective of the world. A Muslim leader in a neighboring country of West Africa, in a neighboring country, yes, Mali, and Burkina is right next to Burkina Faso. He commented recently that not all Muslims are terrorists, but he said all terrorists in West Africa are Muslims. And you've heard about what happened recently in Texas and in Buffalo. And we grieve, don't we, when we hear the news of these terrible attacks here in the United States. Just a week or two ago in Burkina Faso, there was an attack that killed probably 165. they don't even know the numbers yet. And just in the last couple of days, another attack. And these attacks are multiplying to the point where expatriates, people like me, missionaries, are leaving the country. And our churches are places of peace. They're teaching people to love, to forgive, to turn the other cheek. And we thank the Lord for the impact that the gospel is having. Because you enable us to be present in Burkina Faso, students are being trained for ministry at higher levels. I teach at Maranatha Bible Institute. I've been teaching there now for 22 years, and I've seen a lot of students over those 22 years. In fact, probably half of the pastors in those 700 Alliance churches have passed through Maranatha. We have two Bible schools, one in the French language, Maranatha, another in the Jula language, a trade language, and that's called Pondu. And we're training these pastors, these future church leaders for ministry. And we're doing it now at higher levels. We had been requiring our students at Maranatha only to have an elementary education. But now as the educational level in Burkina Faso rises, more and more children are going to school. It's important that our pastors speak good French in urban contexts. It's important that they're well-trained for ministry. And so we're increasing the level at both of our Bible schools and helping to train pastors and church leaders for ministry. Because you enable us to be present in Burkina Faso, Bible schools are better accommodating growth. We praise the Lord for enrollment growth. Here you see a recent graduation at Pondu Bible School, our Jula Bible School. And in May, we had 24 graduate, and they have been sent out to pastor churches, to minister in their villages and in unreached areas. And we're seeing God grow these Bible schools. We need more dorms, and so giving has enabled us to build a couple of new dorms at Pondu. And you see the finished dorm here painted. And this last school year, they were able to use this dorm. Just yesterday, I asked our colleague to give $10,000 to help build a new four-classroom building. They need new classrooms as well. And we are excited that God is providing and that we're able to increase the capacity at our Bible schools. One of the exciting things that took place this past October, we have a Dutch colleague who's very gifted with solar, and he came and spent a few days installing solar at Pondu Bible School. That's not in the city, that's in a rural area. The students haven't had light in Burkina Faso. We're close to the equator. It gets dark at around 6:30 in the evening, and yet now students have light in their dorms. They can study into the night. So because we're present, we're seeing our Bible schools able to train more and more workers for ministry. Because you enable us to be present, we're also able to help the internally displaced people. They say that because of the attacks up in the north and the eastern part of Burkina Faso, that there are some 2 million internally displaced people, IDPs we call them, in Burkina Faso. You've heard about the incredible numbers now in Poland and countries around Ukraine, right? There's like 6 million Ukrainians that have fled, maybe more. And it's the same in Burkina Faso. And they're not all leaving the country. They're fleeing south and toward the west. And so our Comma Services branch of the Alliance in Burkina Faso, OXIDE, is helping to meet needs. And we are channels of blessing to the people who have had to flee. In fact, 50 of our Alliance churches, pastors, have been touched. They've had to flee their homes, their villages, because they've been threatened. And this is one of the distributions that we were able to do. You see the woman here up close receiving some grain. And not only is grain distributed, but the gospel is preached at those occasions. And so it's the church that's out in front, sharing the good news, providing food and clothing to those who have had to flee for their lives. Because we are able to be present, red zones and unreached peoples are being reached. One of my students, Paul Sawadogo, you see him here pictured with his wife, he graduated this last month from a higher level training school in Burkina Faso. And he has been serving among an unreached people group. He's planted a church among them. They're asking him now to go up to the north and do the same thing up there. That northern area, the red zone, where I can't go, but he can go, and he's sharing the gospel with them. In fact, our church has started its own missionary arm. And you see here their pledge card. I don't know if you use pledge cards here at Living Water, but the Alliance has faith promise cards that look like this. Well, this is the one there in Burkina Faso, and you can see that there's a guy that needs help in that well, right? He's drowning. And so the church there is mobilizing to send workers, and the guy wearing the tie that's reaching down into that well is the missionary. And then you see the people holding the ropes. They're doing their part to help that missionary to get to that needy man and to rescue him. And that's what they're doing there in Burkina Faso. They're sending people to the unreached areas of the country. We still have groups of people that would be considered unreached because there are so few believers among them. People, they have to learn a new language, the culture. They have to share the gospel with people who have never heard it before. You see on the left, one of our pastors who has left Burkina Faso and actually gone to a neighboring country, the country of Benin, to share the good news with the people there to plant the Church of Jesus Christ there. And this is the cell group that started. God is at work through him. So because you enable us to be present, prisoners and widows are being visited. I think when Esther was here a couple of years ago, she talked about her ministry among prisoners, and she was going each week with the team every Monday morning to visit the local prison. COVID kind of shut that down for a while, but they've since received permission. They're back in the prisons. You see my colleague Toby Hull here, and Toby and Esther and I have taken turns visiting this detention center. Young boys are there who have committed crimes, and we have an open door there to share the gospel with them and are seeing some of them trust in Jesus. But we're also visiting widows. And this is one of the widows that Esther was able to visit. She was so delighted to receive this new bike that she rode all the way to our home. And she wanted us to see it. I was able to get this picture of her when she came. Esther continues her ministry to widows in our city, and there are a lot of them because men are often 10, 15 years older than their wives when they marry. Because you enable us to be present in Burkina Faso, the deaf are hearing the good news. We have been ministering at the local deaf school. We actually had a deaf couple come and help us for a while. They have a gift that we don't have, the ability to communicate instantly because of sign language. American Sign Language is used there in Burkina Faso, and they have ministered at the school. You see these deaf girls here after they finish their schooling at the deaf school. They need a trade, and so one of our church leaders, Ernest, has taken them in, and he's helping them to learn to sew. He started a sewing school and provides work for them. We also have had the joy of helping to renovate buildings at that deaf school and are thankful for the good teachers that God has provided for them, people who love the Lord and are helping deaf children to hear, to understand the good news. And then because you enable us to be present, churches are being roofed. We have a lot of churches that are just packed to capacity, buildings that maybe were built 40, 50 years ago. And you see here the Nafona Church in Bamfora, about an hour and a half south of Bobo-Dioulasso, where we live. And That's the outside of the church during a worship service. You see people outside. This is the inside. It's packed to the gills, and they needed a new building, and they began building. Many of our churches build by faith. As the funds come in, they begin to construct a foundation and walls. But the most expensive thing, the biggest challenge for them, is the roof. And so we as a mission have been able to come alongside, and this is that same church with their new building behind their old building there. And we were able to help them roof that church, and joy to be with them just a couple of months ago to see what God is doing in their church family. Another church, the Farakoba Church, invited me to come in September of last year. And again, you see the outside of the church building here. And here's the inside packed to the gills. And they too started a new building by faith. And you see this new building. They've built it probably three or four times bigger than their old building. They anticipate growth. They're planning for growth. Pastor Andre is pictured here in front of the church. And on Palm Sunday, they said, we just have too many people. We couldn't meet in our old building, so they moved to the new building, even though the floor is not done, the walls aren't painted. They moved in, and you see them there, and their joy, their pride at our Alliance symbol, which is there on the gates. And they love the Alliance. And we're thankful for what God is doing. It's about people coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, isn't it? It's about building His church. And there are still lots and lots of churches. Right before I left, I handed my colleague Toby a whole stack of estimates for different church roofs, probably 25, and here's one of them. You can pray that the Lord will provide so that these churches can continue to finish their new buildings and move into them. Prayer requests. I'd like to leave you with a few prayer requests this morning. Pray for Burkina's new government. In January, there was a coup d'etat that took place. There's a lot of frustration in the military because they're feeling like they're not supported well by the government, and many of them are on the near the borders and being attacked. And so pray for this new government. It was a military man that took over, and pray that he'll have wisdom. They'll be able to negotiate with these jihadists, that we will see justice and peace prevail in Burkina Faso. We don't just need peace, we need justice, don't we? We want the gospel to continue to be freely proclaimed. We want people to be able to worship in the way that they please. And so pray for both justice and peace to prevail in Burkina Faso. And then pray for the IDPs, the internally displaced people, to be able to return to their villages and homes. Pray for our centennial projects and celebration, that we would be able to organize a celebration that honors the Lord Jesus and draws people to Him. And then pray for our family. We would appreciate your prayers. It's an uncertain time in West Africa right now. My sister was part of a team in neighboring Mali, had to leave because of this insecurity in that country, and is now headed to Senegal. And we would appreciate your prayers for us, that the Lord will give us wisdom and guidance in our ministry, that He'll watch over our children and guide and bless them as well. Thank you.